Now, a lot of the procedures that Todd was just talking about involve needles, and Health Report producer James Bullen has been investigating our fear of them.
I think it all started when I was quite young. I was about 8 or so, and that was when I was getting my meningococcal injection.
This is Annalise, and she's got a phobia.
I was with my mum, we went to the doctors. It all went well, really. I didn't feel a thing. I came out, and then I just felt this horrible, sick, faint feeling, and it really frightened me because I lost my vision and I couldn't hear properly.
No one really looks forward to a needle at the doctor's, but for most of us, it's just a bit of an annoyance. That slight pinch, then you're done. For some, though, it's a much bigger issue. Here's Peter talking about his first vaccination at school.
You go in there in grade prep, and that was in 1971, and they have this needle with a Bunsen burner and burn it, and it, like, that's what I remember, and then they stick it into you or whatever, and it, that's what set me off. I remember it vividly to this day. Like, even now in my head, it's sort of, it's making me feel funny, and that's it.
Annalise and Peter can't stand needles.
I think the phobia really hit was probably when I was about 10, and I went to the dentist, and I did not know that you get needles at the dentist at this point, and I needed a filling. As soon as I heard the word needle, I just lost it. I was really scared. I think that feeling came back of that faint feeling. I think that the smell of sterilisation and needles, that combination just made me feel really weak and sick.
It's the sensation. It plays on my head. Like, if I really start thinking about it, or if I'm put in that situation where there's needles around, I'll go blind. I won't be able to see. I just see stars and my hearing's impaired. And then I don't actually faint. I come that close. I've got to lie on the ground or something. I just black out, I suppose.
It's hard to know the number of people that have a needle phobia. Many escape the notice of the medical profession because they avoid having anything to do with doctors.
For a long time, I couldn't even go to the doctors. So it took a little while to even get to that point where I'm like, all right, I'm going to go in the room today and get it sorted.
At best estimates, it's anywhere from 2 to 5% of the population. Annalise could occasionally get important needles, like vaccinations, but it was a huge process for everyone involved. Eventually, the phobia got so bad that Annalise was 5 years behind on her tetanus shot. This, as she was working and studying on a daily basis with animals and on farms, where the risk of tetanus is huge.
We had to do the injections and the drenching for the livestock. When it came to the injection part, I thought I'd be okay with it, but I still had a terrible sick feeling as soon as we went into the paddocks. It was just knowing of what we were going to do that day. And I think I tried to put on a brave face, but in the end, I know that sick feeling so well and I don't want to faint in front of people. So I will isolate myself and I'll just be sitting in the paddock with my head between my legs and pretend I'm doing up my shoelace or something to not make it obvious. So in the end, when it came to my studies, I had to miss out. On top of that, I realised I was 5 years overdue for my tetanus injection. So I had a few things that I needed to get sorted.
As Annalise was learning, a needle phobia can have a significant impact on your life. And it's a similar story for Peter.
I joined the Air Force when I was 19. When I joined, I had to have needles. And I remember on recruits, lined up to go and have them, and I freaked out and walked out of the room. Anyway, I was made have them. It was a horrible experience. And that was one of the reasons I got out of the Air Force.
That's quite significant in terms of quitting the Air Force or getting out of the Air Force to avoid that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Has it impacted other choices around your work that you've made in your life?
Yeah, it certainly has. Like, I'm a private pilot, got my pilot's license, and I still want to be a commercial pilot, but you need blood tests every year or every 2 years, I can't remember now, to be a commercial pilot, so I don't do it. And there's been other jobs that I thought, oh, I might, you know, wouldn't mind doing that, but there's sort of medicals required that require blood tests, so I won't do them.
Needle phobia is part of what we call blood injection injury phobia. And basically, it's at its most basic level a fear of injections. The person who suffers from this phobia tends to experience very intense fear at the sight of needles or even at the thought of having a needle. and often will avoid any sort of situation in which they have to receive a needle.
Jonathan Gaston is a clinical psychologist who specialises in treating needle phobics.
With blood injection injury phobia, people experience the normal sort of fear response system, so accelerated heart rate, sweaty palms, the typical sort of anxiety symptoms. It is a phobia where people do experience a very strong desire to avoid. I've certainly worked with clients who will literally, you know, jump out of a chair or jump off a table to avoid an injection. It's quite an interesting phobia in that sense, and it can be quite debilitating. And I think that's a really important thing for people to remember, that many people with blood injury phobia, if it's especially around injections, will often avoid perhaps quite crucial medical procedures, vaccinations, and so on. And that can obviously be quite threatening for people's health. And so it can be a phobia that can be quite dangerous if it is untreated.
These cases appear throughout the medical literature. In a 2014 paper on needle phobia, British clinical psychologist Kate Jenkins described a 24-year-old man with Hodgkin's lymphoma so fearful of having a needle in his vein that he refused to undergo chemotherapy. The paper also discussed the example of a 35-week pregnant woman who was so afraid of needles that she outright refused to have blood tests, putting her baby at risk. Jonathan Gaston says part of what makes the phobia potent enough to avoid critical medical care is that it's often not one, but two fears.
It's very important with this phobia. One of the things that makes it quite unique is the fact that over 75% of people with this phobia actually also experience a fainting response, which is quite unusual. And that's something that often people start to fear as well as the phobia itself. So people almost can develop two fears, the original fear, but also they start to fear feeling faint or actually fainting. Initially, the person has a very high level of blood pressure, heart rate, and all of a sudden it drops. And so because the blood pressure drops, people start to feel faint and may actually faint. So it is something that seems fairly specific to this phobia. And as I said, is often part of the reason people avoid having this fear triggered.
But Annalise did eventually get her phobia treated soon after it began to interfere with her study of animal science.
When I saw him, it was really quite a simple session. He didn't expose me to anything. We just talked and I told him where I was at with everything and that I was worried about my health because, you know, I was overdue for all these injections. My teeth were sore because I wasn't getting my fillings done. So there was all that. And then I was saying, now my education's been affected and I'm feeling quite left out. I'm getting that FOMO thing with fear of missing out. He just told me that we're going to build a stepladder. Start right from the bottom and just do small steps at a time. And each session we'll try to achieve just little goals.
And what were some of those steps? Maybe like what were the first couple and then where did you progress to and end up?
The first steps were pretty much just looking at pictures of needles from a distance, and eventually you could move your chair a bit closer. Maybe you'd look at it for a few seconds and look away, have a breather, look back at it. Then you might be able to look at one being injected, just pictures. And then eventually if you feel comfortable with that, you can go into more movement like videos or physically having one in your hand. It was kind of funny because he'd give me all these injections with the safety tips on them and he'd want me to get used to just having them around, like eating my breakfast and there's one next to me just chilling by my side.
The key there is obviously to gradually reduce avoidance. People may already be aware of this is called exposure or what we call graded exposures. The idea is to gradually introduce the person to the things that they fear over a period of time to work from sort of less difficult to more difficult situations. Now, that will depend on how extensive the fear is, how extensive the avoidance. So, as you mentioned earlier, for some people with quite severe blood injection injury phobia, it may literally have to start with them looking at pictures of a needle, maybe moving up to watching sort of YouTube videos. So, they may not be ready to start with to even have to look at an actual needle. But the aim ultimately would be for them to be able to, for example, get a blood test or get a vaccination as the final endpoint. But you would work towards that goal over a period of time.
And the fainting, or the feeling faint that Annalise experiences, that's manageable too, through something called applied tension.
And applied tension is a technique whereby people learn to tense certain muscle groups in the body. And what this does is it keeps people's blood pressure higher, which means that they don't faint. So that's really important because probably people are aware, for most types of fears and phobias, often people are taught relaxation, which is the sort of opposite of that. It's to actually reduce blood pressure and help people relax. But for people with blood injection injury phobia, if they actually do experience fainting, we actually have to teach them the opposite strategy. And so we teach them to be able to control the fainting response.
But what happens when you don't embark on the treatment in the first place?
And I said, I've been to see a couple of psychologists. One in Bendigo, when I lived there, didn't really work. One down here in Melbourne a few years ago. I can actually talk about it now, like I'm here now. If this was 15 years ago, I wouldn't have even come into this studio to talk about it. So I can. So it has improved a little bit, but I still couldn't face having a needle.
Peter's behind on some vaccinations, and he can't go and get a blood test. He says he's been lucky so far not to have any major health problems. On the whole, though, he doesn't seem that bothered by the phobia.
Well, it doesn't really worry me. That's life. That's the way it is, you know. But saying that, I still would love to be a commercial pilot, get my commercial pilot's license, and that's probably the main motivator for me trying to get some help to get it cured. I have tried hypnotherapy and a couple of psychologists and that, but they really haven't done much good.
While Peter seems content living with his needle phobia, Annalise has kept on with her treatment. She's had her wisdom teeth out and got up to date on her vaccinations. In fact, there's a bit of a coming full circle moment in this story. She now works with needles every day as a dental nurse.
I do all the preparing for the injections. I always try to do it before the patient comes in so they can't see it. It's very discreet, because you don't need it in your face. I'm doing this 4 days a week, 10-hour shifts. Almost every patient needs an injection when you're working with the dentist, and I think that has got me through a lot. That's almost therapy in itself, just being there every day with it.
Jonathan Gaston says what's needed now is more people aware of the phobia, including healthcare professionals, so those with it can be guided into treatment.
Part of the problem is there's a lot of people out there who suffer from this phobia who are still unaware of it, and probably most importantly are unaware that there's quite effective treatment. So part of the challenge is about how to improve people's knowledge of the existence of this phobia and health professionals' knowledge of this phobia, and also how to get people into the right treatment, whether that be individual therapy, maybe group treatments can be quite effective as well for this phobia. There's more and more online treatment programs for anxiety, and there's even some good self-help programs if people want to start there for blood injection injury. So part of the thing is not necessarily about what to do in treatment, but how to get more people into treatment.
And that feature on needle phobia was made by James Bullen.